If you have your Bibles tonight, find, if you would, the book of 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians is located in the back of the New Testament. If you get to books like Timothy or Titus, you've gone too far. Hebrews. If you get to books that are Galatians, Ephesians, you haven't quite gone far enough. If you get to 1 Thessalonians, go one more. It's right behind. And 2 Thessalonians chapter number 3 will be our text tonight. I am preaching a Sunday night message from a text that in my prayer time and in my asking God what He would have me to preach tonight, literally leapt off the page of my Bible and got my attention as the Spirit of God would have it so. And I'm excited to preach it to you. I don't know if you've had the opportunity to read the books of Thessalonians. These were books that Paul wrote to the church at Thessalonica. Paul founded this church. You can read about it in the book of Acts as you watch him preach the gospel in this city and folks come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus. He loved these people. He wrote to them a lot about the coming of the Lord, both the rapture and the second coming. And these were people that were at the mercy of some false teaching. And some false teaching had gotten into that church and had scared them and positioned them to an understanding that maybe they had missed the rapture or certain things. And so Paul was clarifying the truth. And so he writes two short letters. They're beautiful and powerful, and I would encourage you to read them in your study. Chapter 3 of 2 Thessalonians is kind of an instructive chapter. He's teaching them how to organize themselves inside the church. He's teaching them how to get along and how to love one another and how to serve one another and so on and so forth. And he ends the epistle with the salutation there where you see in verse 17 where he had written this with his own hand, which is the token in every epistle. And then he wrote, "The grace of our Lord Jesus be with you all." But the verse that leapt off the page for me was verse number 16 of chapter 3. The Bible says, and Paul writes, "Now the Lord of peace himself give you peace." Say that word. Always. "Now the Lord of peace himself give you peace always. By all means, the Lord be with you all." Paul knew that if the church was going to have peace, it had to be peace that God would give it. Paul knew that a secret, and I think it's a secret that you and I had better learn. Paul learned and knew that peace always is a real possibility. Do you always have peace? Well, Pastor, I don't know that I always have peace. I'm not sure I have peace in my job right now. I'm not sure I have peace in my relationships right now. I'm not sure I have peace in my own thought process or whatever. I don't know that I know anybody that lives constantly in peace, but I find that the Bible teaches, according to this verse, that we can know peace always. I don't know about you, but I love peace. I need peace. The Bible, I've told you, often talks about two different types of peace. I have peace with God. I've been born again. And I desire and want so bad the peace of God that passes all understanding. And as we learn in the book of Philippians, and we'll talk about that in just a moment. But there is the possibility to have peace always. I find from the text that the source of this peace is the Lord Himself. The Bible says that our God is, in the book of Romans, it says it in a couple other places, that our God is the God of peace. He's also the giver of peace. Now, where most people mess up is most people think that peace comes and is found in situation, it's found in circumstance, it's found in the right opportunity. And if we're not careful, we kind of associate peace with those things. For example, boy, we went to that and it was a peaceful situation. Or we went there and this was a wonderful opportunity. But peace is not found in situation or an opportunity. And if you're looking for peace in situations or opportunity, you're going to be disappointed. It would be like saying that was a peaceful storm. You cannot have a peaceful storm. You either have a storm or you have peace. How many went through Andrew? Was Andrew a peaceful storm? No. When a storm comes, a storm has anything but peace. So we'll say there's a calm before the storm or after the storm blows by. Sometimes we'll know some peaceful moments. But I'm afraid that God's people are looking for peace in everything apart from where peace comes from. And peace only comes from our precious Savior. He's the God of peace. And He is the giver of peace. And the Bible says, and Paul says, to the church, which is to you and to me, that we can know His peace always. So I don't have to look for a situation that is peaceful, even if the situation is full of unrest or the storm is blowing, no matter what my circumstances, I can still know peace. And by the way, the people that learn to walk and have peace always are people that really enjoy the blessing and freedom of the Christian life. And most people battle with this. And so I believe I found five things in the Bible, or five ways in the Bible, where God gives peace. And I think if you will understand these five things and you will appropriate these things in your life, which are simple, but they're there, I think you will have the wonderful privilege to know the peace of God always. Pastor, what is the peace of God like? It's comfort. It's encouragement. It's the tranquility that God gives us. It's a peace that captivates and guards our heart and our mind. Find, if you would, the book of Isaiah, chapter 26. I want you to see. I'm going to turn you to five passages. Isaiah, chapter 26. If peace always is something that God Himself gives, then how does God give this peace? All right? If you look at Isaiah, chapter 26. We're going to go to another one after this in the book of Psalms. And you're going to know that one, so I don't have to necessarily turn you there. But in Isaiah chapter 26, look if you would at verse number 12. Lord, Thou wilt ordain peace for us, for Thou also hast wrought all our works in us. So God will ordain peace for you. Psalm 119, verse number 165 says, great peace have they which love thy what class? Law. And nothing shall offend them. So if God is going to give you peace, and you and I are going to know a peace that is available to us in all situations, that peace is given to us through the Word of God as we meditate on the Word of God, as we're in the Word of God. You will never have peace apart from God's Word. Okay? So the people that have peace in the midst of storm, and the people that have peace in the midst of circumstances that you and I cannot even fathom, these are people that are constantly meditating, standing on the Word of God. And by the way, the Word of God is a tremendous anchor for our life. It's the hope that the psalmist said that God builds in our life. If God is the God of peace, which He is, and He Himself is the giver of peace, how does He give it to you? He gives it to you through the Word of God. Number two, Go, if you would, to Colossians chapter 3. I'll show you a second way that God gives us peace. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Look, if you would, at chapter 3. I know I'm turning you a little bit, but I didn't make you turn only one passage this morning. Verse number 15. The Bible says, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts." So if the peace of God, not only can God ordain it through the meditation of His Word, the peace of God can rule in your heart. That means it can dominate in your heart. That means that nothing can take over that peace. Let the peace of God, which is your responsibility, rule in your heart, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Now watch this. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another, in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. So God not only gives you peace through the meditation of His Word, but He gives you peace as you obey the Word of God, as I am letting the Word of God dwell in my heart. It's one thing to hear the Word of God. It's another thing to do the Word of God. The peace that God gives is found when you stand in obedience on the Word of God. If you and I are going to be disobedient to the Word of God, we're never going to know peace. Our spirit is going to be pricking us. The Spirit of God is going to be pricking us. So no matter what situation you find yourself in, if you want peace, you better be obedient to God's Word. Amen? The soul that is obedient to God's Word, the soul that meditates on God's Word, they know peace always. Powerful word, peace always. Well, Pastor, you don't know this situation. You don't understand the details. You don't know the difficulty. You don't know the distractions. Let me explain something to you. Our responsibility is not to worry about all that. Our responsibility is simply to obey the Word of God. The position of obedience had better be paramount in our lives. Obedience places us in a position to be blessed. If I step outside of the obedience of the Word of God, not only do I lose the peace of being in an obedient situation, now I'm not in a position to be blessed. There will never be a reason in your life to disobey God. Never. You may, the human mind has the ability to justify itself at any cost. And if you allow your mind to justify yourself at any cost, then you're gonna step outside of obeying the Word of God, and you're not going to know peace. The peace that God gives is a peace that is there always that we can enjoy. He gives it when we meditate on His Word. He gives it as we obey His Word. And then when you go to John chapter 14, let me show you a third thing. You ought to write this down. This is a good little study for you. John 14, look if you would. This is a marvelous and wonderful chapter. You know these verses. These are the ones where the Lord is letting them serve Him. He's talking about leaving the Spirit of God so they can do that. If you look at verse number 27, it ties in to chapter 16, verse number 33. "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If you love me, you would rejoice, because I go to the Father. Now I've told you before it come to pass, that when it has come to pass, you might believe." And he goes on and talks about how that in verse chapter 15, he's the vine and they are the branches. He goes on in describing their nourishment for service. It goes all the way over to chapter 16. You come to verse 33 and he says, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world, you're going to have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. These chapters are the Lord Jesus encouraging them to go forward and serve the Lord. He's securing them that, yeah, you're going to have tribulation in the world, but I have overcome the world. I have more power. I have more authority. Be of good cheer because of that, and I am able to give you peace. Peace is given not only to the folks that meditate on God's word, not only the heart that obeys God's word, but also to the soul that serves the Lord. As you serve the Lord, you will find that God will give you peace. God will give you an enablement. God will give you protection. And it is a great peace to withstand the world. Listen, the world doesn't have anything to offer a Christian. If you agree with that, say amen. We get so cowered down to the world. But God is able to give us peace always. There's no reason not to serve Him. There's no reason not to speak up for Him. There's no reason that we should back down. He has overcome the world, so we can serve Him. And God will give us a peace always. How is this peace appropriated? Look, if you would, go to the book of Philippians. I'll tell you who else he gives a peace to. We're almost done here. First thing is to those that meditate on the word of God. The second way is to those that obey the word of God. Then those that serve the Lord will know his peace. And then in Philippians chapter 4, you will see where else he gives a peace. Look, if you would, at verse number 4. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing. That word careful is anxious. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by what?
Prayer.
Prayer. Verse number 7 says that the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, will keep your heart and your mind through Christ Jesus. So if I'm going to know the guarding of my heart and the guarding of my mind by the peace of God, that peace is given to people of prayer. You will not know God's peace without prayer. Prayer's been a dominant theme in our day today. I don't know about you, but I love my prayer closet. If you love your prayer closet, say amen. I get in that prayer closet, or I get up here and I fall down, and as I go to the throne of grace and I pour out my heart and I stand upon the word of God, I find that peace begins to move in. And it's so, I don't know the word here, but it's funny. We get so worked up that we think we cannot pray. But really what quiets our working up is prayer. I'm going to say that again. We get so worked up in that, oh, I don't have time to pray, or I'm not in the right mind to pray, or I can't pray right now. But we don't realize that prayer is what calms us and stills us as we go to the throne of grace, as we stand upon the word of God. Listen, there is a peace that is available for God's people always. So don't come and tell your pastor, I'm in a situation where I'm miserable. That's your fault. You're welcome. You love me, right? Okay? Because my God, and if you love the Lord, your God is the God of this book. He's the God of peace. And Paul said, He Himself is the giver of peace. So if I'm looking for peace apart from Christ, I will never find it. But the peace that God gives me always are people who are in the Word of Christ, who are obeying the Word of Christ, who are serving the Lord, people that are praying. This is how God gives peace. Lastly, come to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians is a powerful book. Galatians is a book, man, that will expose and strip you down and place you at the mercy and grace of God. Galatians is a book that is designed to break through deception. And really and truthfully, it's designed to break through deception in our own mind. Look, if you would, at verse number 19 of chapter 5. Verse number 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. And he goes on to list all of those works. Verse 21. They which do such things, at the back end of that verse, shall not inherit the kingdom of God. That's the fruit of unrighteousness. But look at the fruit of the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, what? Peace. Peace. Now let's make sure you understand something. These are not fruits. Sometimes I hear people call them fruits of the Spirit. That word fruit of the Spirit is not plural. These are all single things that God enables. These are all things that the Spirit of God is in our life. If you are a believer and you are filled with the Spirit of God, you will know the love of God. You will know the joy of God. You will know the peace of God. You will know the long-suffering, the gentleness, the goodness, the meekness, the temperance. You cannot say that I have two of these and not the rest of these. That's a biblical misunderstanding. Some people want to take the fruits of the Spirit like gifts. The fruits of the Spirit are not gifts. The gifts of the Spirit have a diversity. The fruit of the Spirit has a uniformity. It's a reflection of the nature of Christ. And when the Spirit of God came into me, He brought to me the fruit of the Spirit. So how is the fruit of the Spirit, that especially that part about peace, appropriated in my life? Who gets it? Spirit-filled people. So if I'm going to have peace always, if that's available to my life, and God Himself is going to be the one that gives it to me, He gives it to me through the fullness or the filling of the Spirit of God. You should notice a difference in your life on days that you're filled with the Spirit and days you're not. I noticed a difference in my wife. And she notices a difference in me. When I'm filled with the Spirit of God, there's a reflection. When she is, there's a reflection. When she's not, and when I'm not, then it's evident. So here's the problem. The problem is most Christians are looking for peace in the wrong place. You think if you had made more money, you would have a peaceful life. You think if you were married or to somebody different, or you're unmarried and you are going to be married, or you think if you had a different job, or if you lived in a different part of the country, or if you had whatever, we've got all these scenarios that we deem to be peaceful scenarios and that our life would be different. That's not the Word of God. Peace doesn't come through situations. Peace comes through the Savior. And He alone can give you peace. I can't give you peace. You can't even give yourself peace. Your boss can't give you peace. Nobody can give you peace but God. And if He's the God of peace and He is the giver of peace, now watch this. The peace that He gives has so much power that it's an always peace. Pastor, I don't believe that. And really and truthfully, that's the problem. The real truthful thing is I'm not sure that God's people believe that there is a peace afforded to our life that can be always. And one the reason we do that is we go back to that justification. I don't have peace here. Therefore, this problem is my problem. This scenario is wrong. When really and truthfully, whatever scenario it is, I go to God and I say, now, God, You're the giver of peace. And Your peace is an always peace. And I want You to give me peace right here, right now. That may mean that I've got to adjust myself. That probably means I haven't been meditating on the Word of God. I haven't been obeying the Word of God. I haven't been serving the Lord, I haven't been praying, and I'm not filled with the Spirit of God. If I will find myself in those five things, the promise from the book is that there will be peace. Does God want you to know peace? Yeah. So when your peace is disrupted, it's disrupted for two things. Either one, God's chastening you because you're walking in a different direction, or God's exposing you that you're not trusting Him. And I say you when I say me. Listen, I have every bit as much difficulty as you do, but I know now that God said there is a peace that He gives that is an always peace. Don't you love Him for that? I love Him for that. So why are we all shook up? Why are we all nervous? Why are we all running around? They're so shook up, they're passing out up there. Listen, you got to appropriate that. And you got to believe it. And I'm telling you, if it's in the book, we believe it. Amen? All right, let's have our prayer. I did really well tonight. The kids are obedient. Some of them just fell asleep and fell down off the pew. That's our time to go. Let's have our prayer.